Australia Overnight, the summer weekend edition of Australia Overnight, and many of us spend our Christmas in our own unique way, and many of us sort of are taking on the challenge as well of co-parenting this Christmas. So can parents peacefully share Christmas? Lizanne Erics is a family conflict and mediation expert, and she's back on Australia Overnight. Hi, Lizanne.
Hey, Pat, how are you?
I'm good. Good to have you back.
And yes, I love it.
Yes, it's always great to sort of explore different topics and things. And this one here is tough for many people. So co-parenting over Christmas, if you're amicable, it makes it a bit easier. But I'm guessing there's different sort of points on the spectrum there. So how can you navigate this time if you are co-parenting and you may be separated or divorced?
I think it's really, because obviously in this period I'm helping a lot of people actually talk about this right now, because a lot of people are trying to organise it. And one of the things I always say to people, it's really important to, you know, focus on the kids. Things will be different than they were before if this is the first time you're doing it. But I think also it's really important to remember what's this really about? It's about connecting with your children, making new memories, doing fun stuff. And I think you got to really think about that instead of trying to make it a power struggle between the parents of, but I want this and I want that and my family wants this and my family want that and the kids have to be everywhere. And because I think one of the things that I see a lot is, you know, if you look at the schedules that people are going to have to try to get everywhere and do everything, which I totally understand that people want to do, but it's, you know, at one point everyone's in the car all day, and is that a fun memory for both parents, but also for the children? So I think it's really about, you know, don't make presents a competition. If you're going to have lots of conflict over Christmas, it's just going to be a really horrible experience for everyone. So, and I think it's very personal how you want to deal with it. But, you know, I would not like not seeing my kids at Christmas. So I totally get it. But sometimes I'll be like, well, if you have Christmas on Boxing Day, is that so bad? If you then invite your family, if you then don't have conflict. So it just depends what situation you're in and how high the conflict is. But if it would be me, I would just try to avoid the conflict. It doesn't mean that you don't negotiate. It doesn't mean you say, hey, I want to see my kids at Christmas morning. But it's all about how can you make this so people actually have a pleasant experience, including your kids.
Yes. Yeah, it's tough. It's an emotional time. But if it is a power struggle, as an adult, you really are, am I being harsh to say, you're being selfish. You're making it about you and this power struggle for the one-upmanship, but you're not thinking about the other people involved, and you're just really you're making it unpleasant for everybody.
I don't know if it's selfish. I do get that people say, well, my family is also important. So, you know, you don't always want to give in to someone and say, hey, this is just, you can do whatever you want all the time and they only see your family and not mine. So I think it's a bit more than that. But it's around, but you can swap arrangements every year. So you can say, well, this year you do Christmas and you do what you need to do, and the next year I do that, or something like that. Or you can share the day as well, but as long as you make those arrangements like long before and you swap them. That's what I do with a lot of clients. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? So you do it this year this way, and then next year you swap it around so the other parent gets to do that. And then, you know, so because a lot of people have arrangements from like 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve, 3 o'clock Christmas Day. So if someone gets breakfast and lunch and can relax a little bit, kids can play, and then they still see the other parent on Christmas, but not for the big things. And the kids normally are quite tired. I mean, I don't know what time your kids get up, but a lot of kids get up at 4 o'clock at the crack of dawn. And then the next year it's the other way around. So then the other person, and I think it gets really problematic when, you know, one or both parents want everything every year.
And
I think that's the reality of separation, is that you're going to have to share. And like you, there's two families, there's two parents, you're no longer in the same house. I mean, some of my clients are really great and they can do Christmas morning together, and I think that's fantastic, but I always say to everyone, only do that if you can do it well. If you are going to have an awful time and it's going to be really tense, then you might not want to do it, because it actually makes it worse. But if you can do it, fantastic, go and do those things. The kids see you together and see that that's possible, and that's really lovely. But I guess it's all about for both parents to really go, okay, well, this might be really painful for me, but what's going to really work for the kids and what's going to make them happy? Because in the end of the day, I think most parents are happy when their kids are happy.
Now, we're chatting on Australia Overnight, how co-parenting might be able to work peacefully this Christmas with Lizanne Eriks, who is a family conflict and mediation expert. What about the extended family as well, Lizanne? Because we have many listeners to this program who are grandparents or maybe connected to connected to the family, you know, in different ways. You know, you're thinking of the kids, but you don't want to make it unpleasant for the extended family too, or grandparents might miss out. So there's also that as part of the equation as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of if you have a rotating schedule every year, so everyone knows what's happening, that you can let your extended family know and say, this is the year that I have the kids, or I have them for lunch, or I have them for breakfast. Or so then extended family knows about it. And if they can, they can fit in with that. You know, I mean, people just need notice. I think that's really important. It gets tricky when there's lots of separated families in one family and everything has, people have different you know, schedules, I guess. But because if your family doesn't know what's going to happen and you organise Christmas a week prior, then they would have already made all their arrangements. So if you know things in advance, I think that really helps for extended family. Yep. And what I always ask all the families that I work with, I said, what are your family traditions? What is really important to you? Because some people celebrate on Christmas Eve, like a lot of Europeans do. Some people, the morning is the most important, but for some people, the kids are old and it doesn't really matter. It's about the lunch. So you want to figure out what's actually important to people, what is this really about, and then what I try to do with people is to see if we can get everyone in there without too much trouble. But if, you know, and if they want the same thing at the same time, then it's just a matter of, you know, alternating, and the grandparents might have to see the kids then at breakfast or come the next day or do whatever to fit in with that.
Lizanne, do you find this time of year as a trigger? It's so emotional, you know, just little things will set you off. You'll think about, you know, when the kids were little under the tree, that's gone. You know, presents. And you said something interesting at the beginning, you know, don't make presents a competition. So there's a bit of anxiety around who's buying what and how big the present is and how much money so-and-so's spending. So, boy, there's a few prongs in that question, but it's a trigger because it's so emotional, and also some people don't play fair or they misinterpret what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and I think that if you have parents, if you're amicable enough, if you can have a conversation, and because if they wake up with one parent, you know, maybe you put, like, you can put some presents from the other parent under the tree or just from both parents. So it doesn't come from one parent. For some people, that's obviously not from Santa, if that's still the case. For some people, that's obviously not possible. And I mean, you're not going to be able to control the other parent. If someone is going to do it, they're going to do it. But I think it's nice to have these conversations if you can, and not to, I get sucked into the competition of it. I mean, you know, what are you going to do every year? It's going to be bigger and more, and because you have to compete with another parent. And a lot of co-parents don't have the same amount of money either. So, you know, and I always say to all my clients, I know that that's really painful for some people, but I think, you know, of course presents are important, but in the end of the day, I think all kids want to have a loving parent and someone who spends time with them. And, you know, going to the beach doesn't cost any money, but you spend that time with your child and it's something really important they remember. If you do that consistently, I don't know if a couple of big presents at Christmas are going to deteriorate that relationship.
Boy, it's a minefield, isn't it, Lizanne? And I think kids sort of have an instinct. If it gets nasty, if you can rise above it as an adult and just sort of maybe yield and, as you say, just be as flexible as possible, will the kids sort of in a few years down the track, I know it's a long time to wait, sort of remember that you sort of, you know, did your best to make it good for them and not sort of got it, you know, get into a war?
I think so. I always say to my clients, what would you like your kids to say in 10 years' time about how you managed this? Because they will. There might be two-year-olds now, but there will be 12 or 13 or 14. Plus also, kids at one point start, you know, deciding with their feet, as we call it. So that means they are just going to do what they're going to do. So if you haven't built a good relationship with your child throughout their childhood, don't expect them when they're 15 that they all of a sudden go and hang out with you. Even if you have a really good relationship with them, it's tricky at 15, right? So I think it's for people to really, you know, think about that in the decisions that they make, to go, you know, is this actually going to be conducive, or am I dragging someone by the hair and it's really awful? But it doesn't mean that it's, you know, and even that is tricky, because sometimes kids need to get over the hump, and as soon as they are somewhere, then it's really nice. So I'm not saying don't, you know, negotiate or roll over about everything. I'm definitely not saying that, but I think both parents need to, you know, entrenched conflict is what really harms children, and they will remember that as well. So I think sometimes people get really focused on one event or one thing and they go to war over it. However, kids will remember that conflict, and if it's peaceful, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be so much harmed. So I think it's very important to reduce the conflict whenever you can, and make it easier. However, it doesn't mean that you don't want what you want either. I totally accept that.
Yes, yes. Lizanne Erricks is a family and conflict mediation expert talking about Christmas Day and co-parenting. So, Lizanne, I might have mentioned this before. So the mother of my three kids and I are separated, so I've had to navigate this as well. But I sort of sometimes say to myself, because it is tough, but things change. Even if we were together, the kids would grow older and things would be different. Sometimes you feel like things have changed because of the divorce or the separation. But is that right? The reality is that they'll get older and maybe they'll go some, you know, when they're 15, 16, they don't need you as much or maybe not as connected to the, you know, the Christmas tree and all that sort of stuff. So what am I saying here? Things will change anyway. So it's just another year and things are different.
Yeah, and I was talking, I actually did another interview this morning about this, that, you know, families evolve and at one point your kids get partners and that's maybe later down the track. But I think it is important in general to be flexible. If you're going to hold on to an idea of this is what Christmas has to be and that's the perfect, because I think that's what some people do as well. It has to be perfect as a kind of a vision of what the day is going to be like. And if it's not like that, then it's not a great day. And I think then you set yourself up to fail regardless, because nothing is ever going to be perfect and things are going to happen and times might change a little bit and things like that. So I think it's really important to think about it like that. You're making new memories and they look different, but it doesn't mean that they're not meaningful. Because in the end of the day, I mean, I don't know about you, Pat, but for me, Christmas is about spending time with my family and having connection and whatever that looks like, right? Is it, and I know family traditions can be really important. I'm not saying that, but you've got to sometimes adapt and go, okay, well, we're making a new family tradition because we had one and that's no longer possible or workable or for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be separation. So let's make something new that does work. And when we keep having this great fun and great time and it doesn't become this awful thing that we're trying to just have this one thing that we can't have and we're just now going to argue about it for weeks on end.
Is it becoming more and more common in your world, people having to deal with this sort of stuff, Lizanne, or it's always been there, sort of Christmas where I guess I'm asking, is divorce and separation, you know, bigger than it's ever been this Christmas, you know, after COVID and stuff, they say there was a spike in that sort of thing. Are you dealing with more people on this level?
I do a lot of family law matters, so I think I've always have. So I'm not, you know, I do think that there was definitely something around statistics going up, but I think in general, when people divorce and they're not amicable, Christmas is often a big ticket item to talk about, and particularly this time of the year. Like I said, I'm fully booked at the moment till the 22nd of December, and I still get people wanting to come, which is, you know, not so possible anymore now. But so yes, it is definitely something that surrounds a lot of emotion and meaning. So that's why I'm saying it's not as simple as the things that I'm saying, like, you know, saying, oh, just forget about it. Well, family lunch is really important to people. Maybe their grandmother might be dying. They've been doing this for 30 years. You know what I mean? There's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And we used to always do this and you used to like it, or you didn't, that she or he never liked my mother and that's why they're getting in the way or whatever all the stories are. It definitely has, the festive season definitely has a lot of layers to it for people. And not everyone likes Christmas either. And there's other things that they're dealing with. A lot of people are tired from the year. A lot of kids are tired from the year. People are wanting to just have a break and trying to get to Christmas, do all the things, and then have this extra layer of stress over it is definitely tricky for people. So I talk about Christmas Day at the moment probably every day, people.
Right. Well, it's a special time of year. I feel like, you know, it's important to cover topics like this too, I think, Lizanne, because many of our listeners will connect and relate, and there's all sorts of emotions around this time of year, whether it be relationships or people that used to be there that weren't there this year. But, of course, it is a special time of year, you know, the Christmas carols and the decorations and the smiles on kids' faces. There's that side too to Christmas, which I think is pretty special too. So whichever way we choose to enjoy it, let's look at the positive side of it all, Lizanne.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's wonderful. And I think for a lot of people, it is very wonderful. And my point about this is, it's not that talking about it, I don't think it's because it's negative. I think it's around to educate people that if you make really good agreements, you're not going to have that conflict and everyone doesn't have to be so anxious about it. And then you know what's happening. And then you can, you know, plan around it, and then it will be really great. And you can see the kids' smiley faces. And when you're not be able to be with your children on a time that's really important to you, make sure you have your own support. Like, go and see your own family on your own. Make sure you have people around you, or you can talk to people, and you actually make sure you have a really good time as well, because that can be really hard, particularly if it's the first time. So, you know, don't, just make sure you look and know that your kids are having a good time, and that you will see them, and then you also see those smiles, and you're going to have these experiences with them as well. So I think it is definitely looking at the positives that always is very helpful, and being grateful for things, which, yes, I personally love Christmas. I have a very big family. It's always lots of fun. So I'm definitely not a Grinch, but I just know from experience that there's just so much happening right now, and that people just need some support around them. That's all.
Yes, and you're in WA, so there'll be a warm Christmas. So I think it's going to be warm in many parts of Australia. So seafood on your Christmas table, Lizanne, or something else, or just lots of food.
Yeah, well, I always get it. It's often at my house, so I always get everyone to bring things. So I'm not always sure what's coming, but yes, definitely things like that, and probably hanging out by the pool. And we normally go to the beach after breakfast. So we have breakfast. And so we have two, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live next door. So we have breakfast at their house, and then everyone goes, we go to the beach, and then we come back and we cook lunch, and then everyone just hangs out by the pool pretty much.
It's like it's a real sort of Aussie Christmas at your
place. It is. Yeah, and I'm Dutch from origin, so I really had to get used to it. Because in Holland it's very different, and it's cold, and a warm Christmas was very weird for me at the beginning, but now I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. Do you do a FaceTime with any family members in Holland and sort of connect with people overseas and say, look where I'm at, you know, I'm in WA and the sun's shining?
Yeah, well, my parents will be here. They fly in on the 21st of December, so we'll have a warm Christmas with them.
Beautiful.
And they often come over Christmas period, and definitely will be calling my family.
Love it. Okay, thank you, Lizanne. Appreciate your time on Australia Overnight.
No worries. Anytime.